TNG Radio,
where today's culture and timeless truths come together.
It's reasoned, relevant content, apologetics, worldview, and answers to the questions that you need to know.
You need to know.
From Alex McFarland Ministries, this is Truth for a New Generation Radio. And now the man who preached in 50 states in 50 days, speaker, writer, and advocate for Christian apologetics, Dr. Alex McFarland.
Welcome to this edition of Truth for a New Generation. Alex McFarland here, and I'm going to read a scripture in just a moment from Philippians chapter 4, and I hope this will be a message of hope. Truth for a New Generation Radio is a program in which we talk about worldview, current events through the lens of scripture, and look, let's just cut to the chase. No doubt many people, maybe most of the people listening to this radio broadcast, are probably concerned for America, maybe you're even grieving a little bit because we have a new president, and for some people, they're glad. For many people, they're not happy about it. And it's not, from all the people that I talk with, and I've tried to pick the brains of a lot of people about the current state we're in, it's not about persons or personalities, it's about worldview. Are we going to be a moral representative republic based on the Judeo-Christian worldview? Or are we going to be a socialist / Marxist state? Are we going to be governed by eternal objective moral truth? Or are we going to be continually fluid based on subjective relativistic preferences? And so this is a tough time in the life of our nation. I mean, it really, really is. And so I'm going to read from Philippians 4, and I want to give a word of encouragement, especially to Christians, the Christians that have prayed for America and sought revival. And maybe right now you're feeling despondent, and you just don't know what the future of this nation holds. I want to give a word of encouragement, and then I want to give you some backstory, some history, and some present analysis, and maybe, hopefully, future hope. But Philippians, where was Philippians written? When the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, was writing Philippians, where was he? You know this, don't you? He was in a jail cell. And Philippians has a lot of content, but it's overall a big theme is joy. And in chapter 4 of Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes this, beginning at verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Let me continue at verse 8 of Philippians 4. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence," or literally virtue, "if there be any virtue, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you." Let's unpack this a little bit. Maybe the election did go your way. Maybe it didn't. Maybe you're thrilled about the new administration coming in. Maybe you're concerned. Many people are. Open borders, free college tuition, universal health care, abandonment of our relationship with the nation of Israel, confiscatory taxation, a ballooning national debt, cutting military spending, making under-the-table alliances with nations like China. I mean, these are things that many of us, and I've taught God and government for about 15 years, many of us that know history, and we care about America, and we know American history, and we know what the Word of God says. We know that the current track, we believe, does not bode well for the future of the country. And so we're concerned. But listen to this. Paul writes from a jail cell, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And, you know, we can talk about draining the swamp in Washington, but even on her worst day, I really don't think Washington, D.C., and American government has been as corrupt and vicious and oppressive as Rome. And yet Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And just to underscore and reiterate, he says, "Again, I say, rejoice." Now, depending on what translation you have, verse 5 of Philippians 4, let all men know of your forbearance. Now, forbearance, what in the world does that mean? Listen to this. It means reasoned patience. As Christians, you know, I think about this. When Biden was being inaugurated, there were hundreds of troops in D.C., and yet there were riots and unrest in other cities. But oddly enough, it was leftists breaking windows and rioting yet again. You know, the 74 to 80 million people that voted for Donald Trump, they weren't in the streets creating anarchy. Forbearance. Why, as a born-again Christian, why are we not fretting, just wanting to scream and destroy, burn down the world? Look, forbearance means a reasoned patience. Because look, while I am concerned, and there are many things at the present moment that cause me great concern, my reasoned patience says, look, God is in control. Christ is on his throne. Truth is eternal. Scripture has no expiration date. Christ is coming back. And so when it says, let all men know of your forbearance, it doesn't mean you put up a billboard and have to tell anybody. They can just see by your demeanor and your countenance. You know, the old saying, still waters run the deepest. They know there's depth, there's maturity, because you've got God's perspective on life. Scripture enables you to do that. You read the Word of God and you're able to see life through the lens of eternal truth. Verse 5, let all men know your forbearance, your patience, your composure, your maturity, your trust in God. And then it says, the Lord is at hand. What does that mean? It means Jesus is coming back. We're going to see Christ one day. Verse 6 of Philippians 4, have no anxiety about anything. Isn't that something? The Word of God, as if to anticipate our present situation, the Word of God says, don't be afraid. Have no anxiety about anything. You know the old saying, work as if it's all dependent on you. Pray knowing that it's all dependent on God. We don't have to be afraid. Brothers, sisters, Christians, Americans, look, God's got this. His name is worth living for. His truth is worth fighting for and defending. And whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Now, I want you to stay tuned because we're going to come back and we're going to continue talking about how the church and how Christians and citizens are to conduct themselves and the encouragement we're to maintain within our hearts at this time and always. And I would say this, folks, where we are is a great, wonderful, glorious moment of opportunity to see the power of God as we stand up as the people of God. Stay tuned. Truth for a New Generation is back after this.
America today is like a patient struggling to live, yet is being forcibly euthanized by her, quote, doctors. The life force within the patient fighting for survival is the honest citizens like yourself. The team of, quote, caregivers are the local and national leaders actually contributing to the demise of the patient. The economy is crashing. Crime is exploding. The Constitution is being abolished. The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late by Alex McFarland has one single purpose, to get you prepared. Learn the real source of America's current problems that no one else is talking about and what you can do now to face tomorrow, regardless of what tomorrow brings. The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late. Available now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and local Christian bookstores.
If you're a Christian parent, you of course want to instill a biblical view of life in the hearts of your children. If you're a pastor, you want to offer ministry that draws young families to your church. This is Alex McFarland encouraging you to check out my new book and video curriculum, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity.
Why do bad things happen?
I interviewed hundreds of children ages 5 to 12, and we address actual questions from actual children, the spiritual issues that are on the minds of your kids.
Did Jesus ever sin?
The book and video lessons are great for groups of any size and was produced with the goal of equipping kids to stand strong for Christ in any situation. The 21 toughest questions your kids will ask, the book, study guide, and video series, you'll find it at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
For apologetics resources, books by Alex McFarland, and to find out where Alex is speaking, visit alexmcfarland.com.
Welcome back to Truth for a New Generation. Alex McFarland here. Thank you for listening. We're in Philippians 4, and we're talking about, as Christians, how do we respond to the current situation, and how do we continue moving into the new year as obedient disciples of Christ? You know, don't forget, we are these three things. We are disciples, we are citizens, we are neighbors. Okay, first and foremost, if you're a born-again believer, you are a disciple. And disciple means a consistent, obedient, learning follower. That's what it means. We are disciples. We are citizens. We are to be salt and light in this culture. And we are neighbors. The Bible says we're to love our neighbor. And, you know, your neighbor, the people around you, they know what you say. But very often they see how you live. And so when Philippians 4 says, have no anxiety about anything, okay, then what do we do? In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, in verse 8, which I want to unpack, verse 8 of Philippians 4 is really a thought replacement program. You can't just have a negative. You've got to replace the negative with something positive. Okay, so Philippians 4, 6, don't be anxious, but do pray, supplicate, praise, and petition. In everything by prayer, that's you talking to God, supplication, that's you're pouring out your heart to God. Friend, it is okay. Tell God how you feel. You say, well, he already knows. He does. But it is good for you. It's therapeutic for you. Talk to God. Lord, I'm concerned. Lord, my heart breaks over this. Lord, I'm thrilled about that. I praise you for this. Supplication is you laying your soul bare before God in all of its joys and sorrows. Okay, everything by prayer, not anxiety, supplication, not fear and OCD obsessiveness, but supplication, with thanksgiving. Friend, praise God. It is healthy for you. Do you know, psychologists tell us that a grateful spirit, that is healthy to cultivate a spirit of appreciation and gratitude. With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Please revive the church. God bless my pastor. God, let my family know that I love them. God, thank you for my job. Please let me keep it. God, thank you for my children. Please, may they walk in your ways. Make your request, whatever they be. God invites us to come boldly to his throne with all of our requests. And what's going to be the outcome of this? Verse 7 of Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, not only your emotions, but your intellect. You're going to feel the good things as you think the right things. The Spirit of God keeping you focused on Christ, the Lord of life, the source of life, the author of our salvation. Okay, the peace of God. That peace is a peace that this world can't give you. Remember, Jesus said, peace I leave to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. In other words, you can't find it in any store. Not going to get it on planet Earth. But the peace of God, which, what? Passes all understanding. The wording there, very interesting word configuration. I studied on it. It speaks of taking someone's hand and helping them up a staircase or a hillside, being taken by the hand and lifted above. Isn't that something? Lifted above what? Circumstances. Just hopelessness, futility, depression about where you are. The peace of God. Now, what are some of the components of the peace of God? Well, You know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you're a believer. You know that God is on his throne and nothing can change that. He is Alpha and Omega forever. King Jesus will not leave office in 4 years. King Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. That is peace to know that. And so it is transcendent. It's beyond this world. It passes all understanding. And like a trusted guide helping the hiker up a dangerous mountain cliff, lifting them up, getting them over the danger spot and onto the solid ground of safety, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, lifts us up. And it will keep, that means stability, sustainability, a permanence to keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, in light of this, verse 8 of Philippians 4, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there be any virtue or excellence, that's what that means, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, the implication there, folks, listen carefully, is as opposed to the other things. And look, I'm a news junkie. I watch a lot of news. I'm always reading, got to stay up with current events. Every now and then, Angie will say to me, you know, turn off the news. That is just depressing. And that's true. You've got to, you know, don't focus on what's wrong with the world. You've already broken your New Year's resolutions and life is bad. You know, woe is me. No, look at this grocery list. What is true? That God is in control. What is honorable? To gratefully yield my life to the Savior who gave his life for me. What is just? Well, for one thing, to forgive those who've hurt you. Because look, if Almighty God could forgive a sinner like you and me, who am I to hold a grudge against anybody? You want to live justly? You want justice? We hear a lot about justice. Start living a righteous, moral life. Whatever is pure. Friend, let the Spirit of God search your heart and make you aware of the impure things from which you need to repent. Whatever is lovely. And by the way, what's lovely is the things God is doing in the lives of people. That's beautiful. Whatever is gracious, and we who have experienced God's grace are supposed to be ministers of grace. If there's any virtue, excellence, praiseworthiness, we are to focus, think on these things, build our life on these things, exemplify these things. So what should the church do at this moment? We should be grateful that we have Jesus, and we should be mindful that we represent Jesus. If we'll turn to God this day and always, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Now stay tuned. We've got a whole lot more to share with you on this edition of Truth for a New Generation with Alex McFarland. Don't go away. We're back after this.
You know, Alex has been writing for many years, and one of his classic books is still great today as a basic introduction to the Christian faith. It's called Stand, Core Truths You Must Know for an Unshakable Faith. This book will help you help your teens get off the roller coaster of doubt and onto solid ground. You'll read about the six pillars of biblical Christianity. They are 1, inspiration of the Bible, 2, the virgin birth, 3, the deity of Christ, 4, atonement, 5, Christ's resurrection, and 6, Christ's return. You know, Alex mixes it up with humor and stories he gleaned from decades of working with youth and encourages teens to build a foundation of faith that will stabilize their lives and help them take a stand for Christ. Simple and straightforward, Stand, Core Truths You Must Know for an Unshakable Faith. Available wherever Christian books are sold.
Welcome to the podcast, I Hear You. We are so excited that you joined us. And this is just going to be a great new podcast dealing with issues around race, issues around friendship, and how do we deal with the tough issues. And I'm so excited to be here with my good friend, Alex.
It's great to be with you, Adele. And on the I Hear You podcast, we talk about race, we talk about culture, we talk about politics. And sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree, but we find resolution and common ground. And you know what's really cool? Not only do we learn new things, we make friends, we grow. And that's good for all of us.
We're just two friends, one white, one black, and we just invite everyone to come and join and share with us. It's a big difference between hearing and listening, and we're going to show people. We love it. We look forward to it. And audience, thank you so much for giving us this chance.
I Hear You with Alex and Odell, wherever you get your podcasts. In the midst of a culture obsessed with relativism, Alex McFarland is a voice you can trust to speak the timeless truths of Christianity in a timely way. You're listening to Truth for a New Generation Radio.
Welcome back to the program. I want to resume talking about what the church might do at this moment, but I want to say a couple of things. Please don't forget, I'm going to be at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove, June 25 through 27, we'll be going through the book of Acts together, verse by verse through the New Testament book of Acts. And we're going to talk about the principles of spiritual awakening and revival in the book of Acts. I would love for you to be there. You can register by going to thecove.org, thecove.org. And then also, we have another podcast that I'm a part of now called I Hear Ya. And it's with myself and Reverend Odell Cleveland. And he and I have interviewed each other, and we just have some very robust conversations about race, culture, politics. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find I Hear You, and I would encourage you to do that. And then I want to say finally my own website, which is alexmcfarland.com. We have a searchable database of questions, a lot of content there that God is allowing us to create and post information about where I'm speaking all around the country, and you can find that at alexmcfarland.com. You know, I want to say a big thanks. I was in Eastern North Carolina just right before Christmas, and I got to speak at a school, a very wonderful school, and I got a group of letters, probably 150 letters. The school is called Terra Cia, T-E-R-R-A-C-E-I-A, Terra Cia, and it's in Eastern North Carolina, right near Greenville, where ECU is. And so thanks, everybody, down that way. But elementary through middle schoolers sent me these letters. Dear Mr. McFarland, thank you for coming to our school. It was a blessing. What you said lines up with all of my beliefs. That was Spencer who wrote me that. Thank you for visiting our school. Now, this is Henley. Thank you for visiting our school. You did a good job keeping my attention, and not once did I wander and wonder when you would end. I appreciate that. Henley, thanks for listening. Somebody said, because I was there to give a talk on the U.S. Constitution, it is not easy to hear and accept teachings like this, but you were very inspirational and you have made me interested in our Constitution. So I give God the glory for the chance to speak in schools. All of the students at Terra Cia, thank you for these handwritten notes. I've read each and every one of them, praying for you too, and I really do appreciate that. And folks, before the break, I was reading from the Thomas Paine book, Common Sense. Well, it was a pamphlet, really. And he said that, you know, providence knows when to time our misfortunes as well as our favors. In other words, just like Adam Smith, who wrote The Wealth of Nations, he said that, you know, in a free economy, there's this invisible hand of providence. Now, many of the founders would talk about providence, or they would talk about God, but they knew there is this sovereign hand of God in world affairs, and I agree. And just like the market, you know, there's the old phrase, a rising tide lifts all boats. Look, God, if we pray, if we turn to God, He's going to be with us. He's going to be with our nation. And we don't need to be afraid. We do need to stand strong for truth. And TNG and Truth for New Generation is here to help you do that to win the lost and equip the saved. But we don't need to be afraid. God is with us. And the more that I think about things, the more I believe we're at a time of great opportunity for the church to unify. And look, maybe churches and denominations that weren't necessarily bedfellows prior to this moment, it is time that we stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We stand for loving our neighbor. We stand for caring about others merely because they're human beings made in God's image. Do you know, I want to read a quote. I've got a very dear friend in Jackson, Tennessee, the attorney Ivy Scarborough. He wrote a wonderful book called Into the Night, The Crisis of Western Civilization. And he talks about what a dangerous thing it is that we've lost our biblical worldview. But in his book, he's got a wonderful quote by a Professor Wolf, who is a scholar of religion and American history. And listen to this quote from Ivy Scarborough's book, Into the Night. He says, despite its failures, and they are massive and ubiquitous, there is no other hope for Western civilization than the Christian church. And he goes on and he talks about the fact that all the ideologies have failed. You know, this ideology and that ideology. And he says the secularists lose ground, and the secularists complain and criticize the church and the failures of those that name the name of Christ. But he goes on and he says, love, as described eloquently by the Apostle Paul, is one of the great distinguishing features of the Christian message. Nothing else rivals it on the stage of world history for the power to change lives. Nothing can equal the power of the Christian message and Christian love. Now listen to this. This form of love, the product of God Himself influencing human thought and attitude, in Dawson's words, completely transform human nature. Put another way, only in this sense and through this method can the human heart be truly changed. In every other sense, human nature is incorrigibly and irredeemably self-centered. And that's true. The gospel of Jesus changes lives. And if your life has been changed by Jesus, let God work through you to let the world know. You know, Billy Graham famously was in New York City back in the 50s, and there was a socialist up on a soapbox talking to a crowd, pointed to a homeless man and said, "Socialism can put a new suit of clothes on that man." And Billy Graham said, "Yes, but Jesus can put a new man in that suit of clothes." And that's the truth. And so I'll leave you with this. Read Philippians 4, 3 through 8, and put aside the fear and the anxiety. Heaven forbid, put away bitterness or any animosity. Rejoice in the love of Jesus. Commit yourself to the call of Jesus. And let's show the world the truth of Jesus. Truth for New Generation will do our utmost to help you in this regard. Thank you for listening to Truth for New Generation. Let me encourage you, stand strong for truth, because as 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
TNG Radio is made possible by the Friends of Alex McFarland Ministries, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. That's P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Call us at 877-YES-GOD-1. That's 877-YES-GOD and the number 1. Or give online at alexmcfarland.com. While you're there, listen to program archives, read Alex's blog, invite Alex to speak at your event, or contact Alex with a question or comment. alexmcfarland.com. Thanks for listening today, and join us again next time as we bring you more truth for a new generation on TNG Radio.